Howdy, DC On-Screen fans. How would you like a piece of original artwork from one of us here at DC On-Screen?
All right, we're aware that you've never thought of that before, but here's the deal. We need your help because the internet is a giant monster that requires numbers and regular feeding times. And then these algorithm things that are like our personal demons that we can't defeat alone. Do the right thing. Go over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review or a more honest review if you feel absolutely led to. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. What we're going to need you to do is just write in an address. Tell us who you are. Give us whatever address you want us to send you something at. You know, if you don't want us to know where you live, send it to your neighbors and go steal his mail, whatever.
Yeah.
Just give us that, and then we need you to write Dave or Jason, and then we need you to write the name of a character. We're going to send you a piece of artwork. I can say about it is that one of us is a good artist and one of us is not. If you've actually been listening to every episode, you might know the secret answer to that, to who you should really ask. But, hey, or toss
hell,
a coin.
Man, you know, once you get the picture from us, take a picture of it or scan it or something. Send it back to us and we'll put it on Facebook, just like we do with your DC loot.
Yeah. Send it back with, like, critiques if you want to. We don't give a fuck, you know. Draw over it, you know, pull a Deadpool, right?
Whatever. One of us might cry.
we'll both probably cry. But whatever. Point is, you know, it's come that time. It's the classic call to action. We need to get out there. We need to get a little bit of the review game going. This is our humble offering.
Yeah, humble offering. Very humble. I couldn't say it any better myself, man. That was a good pitch.
Oh, thank you.
All right, with that said, settle in for a new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome to DC On Screen. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason.
Hey!
And, man, it has been long awaited, but we're finally here. Woo-hoo! Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow, Episode 1, Season 1, Pilot Part 1.
Pilot 1.
Oh man, Rip Hunter. Oh man.
Yeah. My first comment would be this. I haven't had this much fun watching a premiere in a while.
Yeah. I squealed Gideon.
Yeah. I mean, dude, 100% fun front to back for me. I realize that 50% of the internet, based on what I've seen, disagrees. Poppycock.
What? What do you mean? Who disagrees?
Oh, people had problems with the episode. Like, oh, it's a little clunky, and there's a lot of exposition. Like, you can't do any dialogue that's not. Of course, there fucking is. There's like 11 characters in this ensemble cast.
Yeah,
there are 11 fucking characters that we know were established characters. Of course, there is. I thought they did a fucking great job with it most of the time, though.
Yeah, I had qualms, and actually, just as I did with the Arrow and the Flash. Bethany Johnson wrote in to us, that's my girlfriend, she said, I fully enjoyed the premiere of Legends, as did we, obviously. She said, here are my qualms. I really liked Professor Stein, but he was incredibly selfish to have drugged Jefferson to get his way. I agreed. I actually wrote down something in regards to Stein getting all Cosby on that shit.
Right.
she said, Stein...
I supported it in a way that was like... Like, later he says, I'm doing him a favor. I believe that he believes that.
Yes.
I think I might have made the same decision. If you told me I could travel back and forth in time, I don't think I have enough respect for people's personal space not to fucking completely fuck them over. I think I would probably do it.
You know what? Victor Garber sold me on that when he is... But he's telling him, like, I don't know how many adventures I have left. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's some heavy truth, man. And, I mean, for a guy like him, like, shit, man, I'm not even a quantum physicist, and I would probably drug somebody to go on a time-traveling adventure.
It's a time-traveling adventure.
Shit. And then, you know, you got me at time-traveling. I don't even have to have an adventure. Just take me to another time and let me just sit there. I'm good.
You're just approached by the doctor. This is no time. No time to stop and balk at things.
She says, it isn't like Stein wanted to borrow a shirt from Jefferson and took it without asking. He forced Jefferson into a dangerous unknown situation in which he may be killed. That's fair.
That is all accurate, and I still would have done it.
But I'm like, you know, I don't remember, like, what does Jefferson, yeah, what does Jefferson have in his time? Like,
I'm not even going to go that deep with it. I'm not going to sit here and judge the guy. I'm not even going to make it sound like I was trying to do him a favor. I'm just going to tell the guy, dude, fuck you, you're coming with me because this is how it's going to be. I'm sorry.
Here's the unfortunate thing, like, because, like, they tried to have this scene between Jefferson and Stein, and Jefferson's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm 20 years old, and I'm a mechanic. And I'm like, that's not an argument.
That sounds like a great reason to hop on a damn ship and go somewhere.
Right. I understand they needed to kind of flesh out Jefferson a little bit for the audience, but how much more would you have liked to have seen Stein actually talk to his wife? And be like, hey, do you mind if I, like, go on a time-traveling adventure? And maybe never come back home?
Right.
Now, I mean, we've seen the trailer. And
either I'll never be back again, or I'll be back exactly like right now, and you'll never notice I was gone.
Yeah. And there's a shot in the trailer of like him looking at his hand all Back to the Future style, and like Stein's ring is disappearing, his wedding ring. So, you know, I'm assuming in Pilot Part 2, he's going to do something.
I don't know if it's Pilot Part 2, but it's on the agenda.
Yeah. Well, I assume it's Pilot Part 2 because they're still in 1975.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, but we don't know how far back or forward they're going.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but yeah.
I mean, it could prove maybe that this address? She had an ancestor that he fucks up like a few hundred years before. We don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Bethany continues. She said, I hated Sarah Lance's white canary getup. Her hair looked filthy and unwashed, and her outfit, sorry, Cisco, was not white. It had a familiar tint to it. My grandmother recently found my flower girl dress from a wedding I was in 26 years ago. She found it in her attic, where it had been stored inside a paper grocery bag for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. The tent is called Old Filth. Sarah, you look like you needed a shower and a trip to the laundromat, buddy. I kind of agree.
She's Ivory Canary.
Yeah, she's rough looking. She doesn't, like, the hair slick back thing. I didn't care.
Honest to God, gross. Like, I have never enjoyed Sarah Lance more than I did during this episode. I didn't really have a problem with the costume. I mean, I thought it was a little bit odd. I didn't see. It's one of those costumes where you look at it and go, why do you want to move around in that? That's weird.
Now, look. My problem, more so than even that, was, dude, when the hell did Laurel have time in, like, 36 hours to make that suit? Or even Cisco to make that suit?
Yeah, I have that one written down in particular. Like, when did that get done? Like, Cisco's quick, Cisco? But damn.
It is Cisco, and Laurel probably knows that, like, her sister can't stay away. Or, right. You know, she told Cisco, like, hey, buddy in Central City, my sister might actually, but we're both dot canary. What happens if we both want to do the thing? He probably already had that shit made.
I mean, the best headcanon I can come up with for it is that this was just a great opportunity for her to present the pitch that she was going to do anyway, where she had Cisco design like a white canary thing, and she already had the whole speech planned about, like, why don't you try to live in the light and all that? And, you know, Laurel's character, like, that actually doesn't strike me as something that she might not do. That's believable for me. But that's a lot of backup stuff to explain. Dude, why did you have that ready already?
Yeah. excuse me.
I tell you though, her in the bar fight, phenomenal.
Yeah, that was fun.
Loved it.
It is like the suit even, like the suit and the hair actually even compliment her, and I actually wrote it down the way she's acting here. She's like, I say we go get weird in the 70s. Yeah, that looks pretty weird, buddy.
I mean, that looks perfectly right. This is what getting weird in the 70s might look like.
I kind of wish that instead of the dude coming over and being like, we're going into the parking lot, baby, man. Instead of that, he would have just come up and she would have expected him to do that, and everyone else would. The audience expectation was like, oh, here comes the jackass to you know, do whatever. And instead of that, he's just like, excuse me, ma'am, why do you have a utility belt? Seems like a fair question.
That seemed like a perfect question. Or, like, you know,
have a guy come up and be like, that utility belt is exactly what I need for my construction job. Where did you find it?
Leaves a
card.
Seems
to move with your hips. I love the way it moves with you as you dance. And, it, you know, it looks like it would be a real help to me.
For discreet adventures I might be planning on having.
No, you can't make him Wayne. You don't make him Batman.
Sorry. Good. Pull up utility belt. That's where I'm going.
I know.
Yeah, dude. Man, I had so much fun with the fucking. Like, I don't know where to start with how much fun I had and where. Don't even know exactly what the beginning of that story is. But.
Oh, here's a qualm that I had that I, you know, I'm assuming there might. Well, I don't even know. Okay, we have like Ray and Oliver's watching him on the monitor, and then like Ray like upsizes and takes out some dudes, and then all of a sudden Rip Hunter is there and he like flashes him, you know, and knocks him out purportedly. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Oliver just like?
It's a Men in Black machine, is what that is.
Yeah. Is that what it is? So Oliver saw the flash and just said, oh.
I don't know.
I guess Ray's not there. Like, I'm just sitting there going, like, why isn't Oliver just, like, scouring the city for Ray? Like,
oh,
first Felicity, right. Now this.
That part, I assumed, like, I was actually okay with that. Because, yeah, there's, like, okay. Arrow would probably scour the city a little bit, but he would have absolutely zero luck. And then Ray shows up not too long after.
Yeah, but Oliver does not seem at all concerned or surprised to see Ray. And by the way, it's not a Men in Black machine because Mick woke up and like described him perfectly. So
I don't mean the memory erasing machine. I just mean the giant flashing light and then everything changes part. But
I was just thinking memory erasing because Oliver didn't care.
No, nothing like that.
Just Oliver's just like, he's a superhero now. He's got this. I just watched a bearded guy drag him off somewhere, but meh, whatever. He's good.
Well, I assumed that. I really did. I assumed that kind of Oliver looked into it, but at the same time, he's dealing with Damian Dark and all this other crap, so he's really not got a lot of time to go dealing with Ray shit right now. Ray's got a super suit. He can handle his fucking self.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
But every single time, if Oliver's on another show, he's got more levity than he does in his show. Every single time.
Every time.
He's funnier here and more charming here than he is on his show.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, the fake bravado, like, yeah, it's just a bunch of guys with guns. You've got a super suit. You're fine, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still more fun.
Now, I did see a complaint. And I did have the same complaint that, like, why isn't Ray concerned about Felicity? Why isn't he like, hey, how's Felicity or anything? Apparently there is, actually, I saw it. Brandon Routh said that there was a scene that they deleted where he actually asks Oliver, when he shows up, he asks Oliver, is Felicity okay? How's she doing or whatever? And they cut it for time. So this should be a deleted scene somewhere on a DVD, I guess.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure I could nitpick the crap out of that. Like, maybe there's... What did that cost? 5.5 seconds to do or something?
Mm-hmm,
I'm sure there's some moment we could have cut out somewhere, but it's not
aside
the end of the world for me. It's really not.
Those are my few nitpicks.
Well, it's like he knows she's in trouble, but he also knows that she's survived the surgery at least at this point. And time travel? So time travel.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I may just be like diving truly deeply diving into just how shallow I am here, but time travel? So, sorry, Felicity?
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Rip specifically says that you're going to come back to exactly this moment. So, Ray would figure like, well, okay, go have the giant adventure, and then I'll come back and deal with Felicity then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can just go back and fix it. Right. Whatever.
That'd be good.
I did enjoy. He tells Oliver he's a time travel or sorry, time master from the 22nd century. Kind of hard to Google.
Yeah, that was a good. That was a really good line. That would be a good. All right, they could do both of these problems in one episode. If Ray does come back and attempt to fix the shooting, that'd be a fun scene. Like where you get to see how much Ray actually does still care, and I'm sure he does. He's just the kind of guy who would still care. But
when he tells Oliver, "I died once." Nothing happened.
Yeah,
no one cared.
Dude,
like, shit.
That is like, deeply existential, you gotta go figure yourself out kind of thing. It just is.
Yeah, yeah.
All of, man. And that's gotta suck, too. That's the one of the hidden mercies of death is not really getting to see what effect you had for good or ill on the rest of humanity. And, man... Oh.
And this dude is a genius billionaire who can create all these cool things, and no one cared.
All of it mattered exactly nothing. Yeah, I mean, it's a brutal argument.
And then,
it's a hell of a recruitment pitch, too, to be able to go up to people and tell it. And the way he describes it at the end of the episode, like when this is what you're going into, I'm sorry, but
yeah,
like, if like the way Rip when Rip finally confesses about everything, like, no, you're not Legends. I made all that up. I had to. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were chosen specifically because none of you matter.
Ugh. Yeah, and that's got to be, I know that's an emotional roller coaster, but it's two wonderful pitches back to back. Like, on the first thing, mm-hmm. he tells everybody, like, you're so special. I could have gone to any time, any place, anywhere. I picked this spot. Well, fuck, mm-hmm. how do you turn that down, right? And then, like, obviously, the first person to speak up and go, I'm in, is Ray. It is. It just should be Ray. And, mm-hmm. Like, followed directly by Martin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back to it later, like, you completely demolish the standing of your first pitch, but that's got to be just as devastating to hear and just as hard to say no to. Was, no, I picked you because you're completely fucking meaningless. Would you like to do something about that?
Yeah. Do you not know why they... It made sense to me after watching this first episode, why they... That article a few weeks ago said that they were the Avengers, but sadder or something, or like the sad version of the Avengers, whatever it was. It's just like, yeah, oh, that. Man.
The Avengers of sadness, I think, was the phrase.
Yeah, it was just like, oh.
I still don't like the phrasing. But, semantically, it's ripe with irresponsibility, but other than that...
I know. But, dude, I mean... When Boardman dies, like right after we find out that he's the son of the Hawks or whatever we're calling him,
yeah,
the Halls or whatever. Oh, that was rough, man.
It was. I mean, that was really rough. And Darvill's scene with his like clutching his kid was. I thought he was a great guy. I thought he did. There wasn't a person Darvill's on this cast anyway. That I thought, oh, that was kind of weak. I thought everyone here did a fucking great job.
Yeah, Darvill's just phenomenal. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, he truly is. God, that kid's good. But he, and I kind of, especially, there were a couple of times where I'm watching going like, cool, so this is Suicide Squad, and he's graduated to being the Doctor now. Awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that the Time Masters are after him. Yeah, I was wrong. That wasn't Black Beetle. That was totally Cronus.
Totally Cronus.
And I laughed my ass off when he killed the Dude Bros.
Right, right. Judging your worth to the timeline. Sorry, bro. You ain't mean shit.
I loved it at the end where he's like, "Are you guys still in?" And they're all like, they all have their very noble reasons for doing the thing. Like, we're gonna change our destiny, and we can do this, and blah blah blah. And then it just cuts over to Mick, and he goes, "I like killing people."
Right. He actually, and they had been warning me in some of the pieces, some of the articles coming up. I had been kind of warned that, okay, so Dominic Purcell's going to be the funny one here. And I'm sitting there the whole time going, yeah, fuck you. I'll believe it when I see it. No, he made me laugh. He made me laugh several times. I enjoyed the shit out of his character. Like, he's a great job at comic relief on this episode.
And, you know, I was listening to Fat Man on Batman earlier, and Kevin Smith said something that I had not... I'd never thought about until just now, or until he said it. Wentworth Miller does really kind of, in a way, me think of James Spader.
Did I mix those up?
No.
Okay.
Wentworth Miller's Captain Cold.
Okay. I thought I'd said the wrong one there for a second.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. Like every, like his delivery is not, it's not like an imitation or anything, but yeah, it does, like the way he plays the character does remind me of like the way James Spader acts.
I agree. And in the best possible ways, I agree.
In the best possible ways.
He takes a lot of the stuff that I really like about Spader's kind of weird, disconnected performances sometimes, and does, I think, a great job with it.
Yeah.
And there are people. Have you known people in your life that have a way of reacting so strangely to a situation that you're like engulfed by the minutia of their face almost? You're watching all the wheels turn, and you're just. You know that a normal person should have responded by now, but they end up like taking the power in the conversation, like taking the initiative of it, because they react so strangely that it does. It's got that enigmatic feel to it.
I don't know anyone like that in my real life, but I'm far too self-centered.
I really have. I've known a couple of people that just you'll say a sentence to them, and the way they volley that back to you is just so fascinating that like I'm hanging on their word, just going like, what? What sentence are you creating in that strange mind of yours right now? And then it ends up being something entirely normal, but it comes in this strange package. It's fascinating.
Yeah. I guess there are people like that, I would assume.
I've met a couple. They're out there.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, one set design problem I had. The Hawks, okay. How long have the Hawks been, like, out and about?
I do not know.
Because, I mean, if Carter, like, did Carter have, like, a sweet little job before he went and tried to find Ciara? Because, dude, he's got a nice apartment.
He does.
That was a swank pad. He does.
I mean, maybe he's still an archaeologist or whatever.
Surely you could make some money as a historian doing what he does, right?
Yeah, I mean, did he say that he was a historian at some point?
I don't know that he said what the hell he does with his time. Since he's been on screen, he's spent most of his time trying to convince Kendra that she's not Kendra. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I doubt very much that they had time to actually even go into that. And I'm okay with that. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, whatever. They just have a place.
I mean,
move on.
He always finds... I just figured he's always, like, an historian and archaeologist whenever... Because he's always trying to find those damn Hawk helmets and shit.
So. Yeah, he is a hell of a seeker, man. He's mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
The bottom line for the show is it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, just sitting there thinking about it, I keep having to look at notes or I wouldn't even know where to start. Something that cracked me the fuck up, though. They're all sitting there outside of the ship right before it kind of decloaks.
Mm-hmm.
When it actually does decloak, did you see the mm-hmm. giant fucking grin on Ray Palmer's face?
Yes, I actually wrote it down. I wrote, let's see, Ray's childlike big shit-eating grin
right.
at the Wave Rider. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know that he's ever been this happy.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Like, everyone else is a little bit, oh my God. And Sarah just kind of thinks, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, come on, she's come back from the mm-hmm. dead. A ship isn't going to completely knock her dick in the dirt. But... yeah, Ray is just taken. I think he wants to make romantic advances toward the ship.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
I don't know that I blame
him. Yeah, I guess. yeah.
So. Oh, and a particular line that I loved. When they decide they're going to go get crazy in the 70s.
I believe it was weird, actually.
Go get weird in the 70s or whatever. So... Jackson's character is going to hang out. He says, "Y'all just going to leave me here?" And Snart tells him, "Like I said, I'd take care of you."
Mm-hmm.
Meaning your ass is going to stay right the hell here.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. I like it. But that, it was the first hint you might see of, like, maybe Snart could lead this team, you know?
Oh, yeah. I even love when he was like, you know, we go out for a drink and come back and you guys have started a fight with Boba Fett.
Right.
Good job. Okay. And they not even, they didn't even, they, not only did they sneak in a Star Wars reference, like when Kronos is throwing the thermite bombs at the Wave Rider,
mm-hmm.
Jack says, "Don't you have some kind of photon torpedoes?"
I heard photon torpedoes.
Star Trek
torpedo.
Reference.
I was like, man, you got all the way the fuck around on this one, didn't you?
You did. You did. I was just waiting for the, you know, I was just waiting for Sam Beckett to show up. I don't know.
Right. You've already got who? Just... all over the board. You've got that.
Yeah. Where's the Doc Brown reference? I don't know.
Yeah,
where's...
seriously. But yeah, like if a DeLorean had rolled by at some point in the background, you'd be like, yep, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I even enjoyed Palmer talking to Stein. Another one of those just little lines I love. Like, he's, yeah, come here, Mr. Palmer. Seriously, it's Doctor. Like,
yeah, I love, like, that is so important for Ray's story arc. I love
Stein
that Martin
doesn't
Stein
give
can't remember.
A fuck.
Like, even Ray is like, Ray is like an ignored version of that dude. What is that dude's name? I can't remember his name. Elon Musk. He's like an ignored version of Elon Musk.
But say, like, if you can't remember
no
his name, point taken.
Or I guess it would be more accurate to say he's like the ignored version of Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He really is. He's just like, no one gives a shit.
Yeah. Which, in all fairness, may happen if Tony Stark passed, too. Everyone's like, yeah, it was an egotistical fuck. Great tech and everything, but I can't afford it, so fuck that guy.
You know what it would be? You know why? And this is just my own personal opinion. It has nothing to do with anything that's on the show or representative of the movies, necessarily. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think Ray is too decent a guy. He doesn't go out. He doesn't sleep with a bunch of women. He doesn't get all debaucherous and shit. No one cares. Like, the reason Tony care so much about Tony is because he's basically a Kardashian with brilliance.
Yeah, you're not going to see, like, there's no TMZ backfile on Ray Palmer. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They don't. The gossip columns are just starving for this guy. They had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea what to do with him. I like that.
So,
and it, It does. It puts him in his place a little bit. Like, now I'm wondering, you know, in the context of the show, is Palmer or Stein supposed to be smarter? I actually can't.
I would say two different things, like, completely, almost. Like, I would say they would be two different kinds of smart.
Yeah, but it seems like people always kind of want to rank them, though, on the base intelligence thing, right? And I'm kind of wondering which one the show's pitching us. Like,
I think...
if I polled the writer's room right now, like, I wonder what they'd say.
They would probably say Mr. Terrific.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But, yeah, I don't think it matters. I think it matters that we think that Stein is at least smarter than Ray for just a minute, just so Ray can get his mind around the fact that he doesn't remember him.
Right. Oh, and the two of them on screen, they're like a sci-fi expo machine. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get through expositional dialogue about the sci-fi aspects of the show in one fucking hallway. Don't even have to turn the camera.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't need one of them.
Right. Oh man, how many chunks of dialogue were just shortened to like two nerds just talking about how science works? Done. Out. Nope. Period.
And from a storytelling perspective, from a writer's perspective, I would say one of them's doomed.
Probably Stein. I think he costs more right now. I think Victor Garber costs more to have on screen than Brandon Routh does.
Oh yeah, he's got top billing too.
So if I had to pick somebody, I think it's him, but.
I mean, how are you? Yeah, you got Superman in your cast.
Yeah, one of the worst outings. You know who?
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't exactly raise your stock.
There, I mean, you know,
like hell, Scott Pilgrim versus the World did more for Brandon Routh's stock.
We're in the United States of America. The only way you can outrank Superman is if you're Jesus. And Victor Garber was Jesus in Godspell. So
that's a good point.
Kind of. Yeah. So, I mean.
In the pecking order, yeah.
weird version of Superman versus a weird version of Jesus? Of course, if you look at Man of Steel, they're kind of the same.
I did.
I agree. Anyway.
A lot of the characters just worked well together. And, you know, later when Jackson decides he wants to forgive Stein for taking him out on this, first of all, I am immediately willing to give the scene credence. Like, I'm sure, mm-hmm. for instance, I'm going to bet that Bethany didn't think that was enough, just based on her earlier take, because watching it objectively, I don't think that's enough. Same mm-hmm. time, I'm already predisposed to the idea that, well, dude, you should have shut the fuck up, gotten over it, and been on the ship of your own volition. He shouldn't have had to drug you. So
right.
I'm already so far in that camp that for me that's enough. And on top of it, kind of liked his football analogy. Kind of did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Stein should have just been like, yeah, you are a 20-year-old mechanic, and you don't want to go time travel? That's the problem with your generation. You guys have no motivation.
Right. You goddamn millennials, football. Get on the ship, you piece of shit.
You can't play football now. Boo-hoo.
Right.
You don't have any smarts. You can't do anything. You got to be a mechanic now?
You're a settler.
Mechanic's That's a real job. Yeah. It is. It is. But you just pointed out how it was a shitty job.
Mechanic's a perfectly good thing to do with your life if you haven't been offered time travel.
So what argument are you making here,
sir? I can come up with any number of jobs that are perfectly good ways to spend your life and support your loved ones. And all of them are trumped by until you're offered time travel as the alternative.
I mean, we're sitting here trying to figure out who's smarter, Ray or Stein. You're telling me that Stein couldn't lawyer Jackson to getting his ass on the ship without drugging him? Come on, man.
Oh, I just think it was a time constraint situation.
Yeah. Well, just I think it was important to see him do
all possibility. Like, I figure if you're going to drug somebody, you've got like one chance to do that.
And I really hope that
if they were already arguing about it, and he's like, you know what? Have a drink. No, have a drink, damn you. Yeah.
Yeah. I really hope what they were going for is they really wanted us to think that it was really bad, a really terrible thing to do,
mm-hmm.
because that would very nicely shows us, like, yes, he is this damn desperate, like, to have this final adventure or whatever.
Right. That part worked for him. And I even liked, you know, Jackson kind of telling him, like, dude, you didn't look like, you watching you run across that field, you didn't look like you were on your last adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that, too. Oh, by the way, and... I had missed this note, and we were talking about it earlier, but Bethany, I have Gray Canary question mark as one of my notes.
Nice.
I'd forgotten about nice that. I ran out of room on that page and started writing down the margin in an opposite direction, so I hadn't read it until just now.
Right. You know what shit would have looked like? It looked like when you like cook a piece of cod, like codfish. Like when you look at the skin of a codfish. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, that's all I've got on Legends of Tomorrow, man. It's a big action-y show full of lots of fun, and I can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, that was huge for me. And by the way, it's not like they've given us a little bit to deal with. Like, you got Vandal Savage tromping through time, having his way with it, and then, you know, the guys they sent in from another Durango, like Kronos took on that entire team.
Mm-hmm.
Formidable. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Formidable.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, the last thing I wrote down before I like flipped the page and went on to the next show, I had to watch a couple of these in succession this week. Last thing I wrote down was, I'm in love. That's it. That's my last note on the show.
That's fair.
I am. I'm taken. I have warms and fuzzies.
By the way, what is Jefferson's last name?
I don't know.
New Firestorm? Is it Jackson?
I thought his name was... Oh, Jesus Christ. What have I done? Now I've gotten confused.
Yeah, his name is Jefferson Jackson.
It is.
My God. Yeah, and that's not even whole cloth either.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually makes more sense.
What's that?
It's a poor name. It's one of those names where...
It is.
Where you would prefer to do it pretty much any other way.
And this makes sense, too, because when I heard it, I thought, God, that sounds so 1970s black guy.
Yeah, it that's the thing.
It actually actively reminded me of the Neil Adams story, where he was talking about how they were going to call, I think it was going to be Jefferson Jackson, something like that, or when Washington
they were originally
going to
make, I think it was like Washington John Stewart. Jackson, and they were going to make Jackson.
Yeah.
This is according to Neil Adams, so take it for what you will.
According to him.
But yeah, they were going to like rename him. Or they were finally going to have a black GL, and the editor at the time was going to name him like Washington Jackson or something. It was Black
Emmett Washington Jefferson or something. Yeah.
It was just the most obvious damn, like, I don't know. So I'm a little happy that cuz it seriously in like 2015, I'm saying that cuz that's when this show is being developed, but like 2015, that's kind of a... Come on, dude. Pick a normal fucking name.
But, you know, look, he was a... in the comics, he was a fellow student with Ronnie Raymond at Bradley High School.
Okay, cool. That works.
He's a character that they came up with.
Yeah, Firestorm, there's... First of all, there's several Firestorms, and I lose track. And then second, it's just he doesn't come up a lot in my reading.
I will say this, though. It is weird. I guess they just couldn't get the actor back, and they didn't want to recast. But there was a Jason Rush on an early episode of The Flash.
Yeah, you've mentioned.
So I don't know why that guy wasn't used. I don't know. Whatever.
I think they probably would have just pulled the same name out, and they decided, well, we've already used it, and there's several. I could see it perfectly well as just we've already used the name. Fuck it. There's several other to choose from.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, good show. Hopefully you'll find that this was a good show.
We're complimenting Legends of Tomorrow, not our own attempts at showing.
Good show, Jason. There, I've done it.
Show, old chap.
Yeah. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and so many other places. It is ridiculous. And there's going to be plenty of shows coming up, you know, unless one of us dies. And, you know, probably the other one will keep going on. I don't know. We'll do it for the other one. Anyway, that's weird. I don't want to talk about
we'll
that.
We'll be all plucky. One for the Gipper.
Gippers and Kippers. That's what we talk about on this show.
There you go. That's what we're into.
We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. If you would so So, like, you can go check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast with our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall. And they are our friends. I'm not just saying that just to say that. Hell, I got a picture of me and Matt on Facebook. Go check that out and like us and fan us and do all the things that you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. you know, to support us and be like all, and we'll be like, and everybody will be all happy.
Yeah. I mean, we still got like.
I'm so sorry. We got a news episode coming up. So.
He's sorry for all the kissing sounds. And I am too, because I've avoided. I've spent so much of my life around you and yet never had to hear you make kissy sounds. And. You've broken that trust today.
There's a first time for everything, sir. Sometimes a betrayal has to happen.
Right. Betrayal is inevitable in an infinite universe, right?
For sure. I mean, you know, we're going to the multiverse now, man.
Woo.
Everything is 100% probable. With that in mind, keep some DC on your screen. We'll see you soon.